Lord willing, in the next couple of Sunday mornings, we are going to be looking at a question that some may say is irrelevant. Some may say it doesn't really matter. And some may say it's a question that really nobody is asking. I will say that this is a question that many people have. It is a question that is, in fact, very relevant, and it is a question that I was asked to speak on while I was back in Oregon. And as many of you know, that particular concept that we're going to take a look at is, in fact, this idea of dinosaurs and the question of whether or not dinosaurs really existed, and if they existed, what does that mean? And it's important that we recognize that there are a lot of theories and there are a lot of ideas that are out there. What we want to do is we want to take a look at this subject from the Holy Bible. We'll use God's Word, God's wisdom to guide us, and we'll understand God's way. And we'll understand what it was and what it is that He would like us to know about this particular topic. And as we get started, one of the things that I would invite you to consider or think about is that the subject of dinosaurs is one that has been intriguing to a lot of people for a very long time. We're all familiar with the Jurassic Park series. As a matter of fact, the most recent movie in that series was released just shortly before I actually did this particular series. And one of the things that was unique about that situation was, I don't know, because I didn't read the article, but I heard some information. I don't know if it was the number one grossing opening weekend of all time, but it was the number one profit grossing weekend of all time, because there wasn't a whole lot of advertisement for this movie. Matter of fact, I had heard nothing about it until a week before it was scheduled to come out. And generally, movie companies will go ahead and they'll really push their idea and their concept to get people interested, and they'll spend a lot of money. Well, they relied on the fact of the previous series as being beneficial to helping them to and allowing the movie to be popular without having to sell the idea. But they also banked on the fact that there's an interest in it. And so they were able to save some money on their end to do so. And there have been many books about it. We've seen children's books. We've seen books that were written for adults. We've seen various books that have been written for those that are supposed to be a part of the scientific world. And therein is one more thing that I want to make mention of. And that is, in my mind, and I could be mistaken, but in my mind, for those that got the information that there was going to be some type of, in their mind, maybe seminar or discussion on the idea of dinosaurs, that behind the person's name that was going to be doing the teaching would be something that said PhD, or somebody that should be, quote, an expert in the field of dinosaurs. I'm about the furthest thing from an expert in the field of dinosaurs that you'll ever meet. But I don't need a PhD because I have the BIBLE, and that's what we need to tell people. I don't need a PhD to find out what God has to say with regard to dinosaurs. And then you can see much of it is a product of speculation and misrepresentation. And that's why we need to talk about it. And we need to make sure that when we are telling others not to speculate, that we don't find ourselves getting in the trap of doing speculation ourselves and start thinking about things that we don't know the answers to. We have to focus on what it is that we know. And of course, this concept of dinosaurs melds heavily and deals heavily with the idea of and is often used to promote evolution. So you really can't have a discussion or a study on the idea of dinosaurs and not talk about evolution versus creation. And so one of the things that we'll look at is the question, did dinosaurs really exist? And as we go ahead and we look at this question, the evolutionist would say that they existed some 235 years ago, which was long before man evolved. No human being ever lived with these dinosaurs, and their history is recorded for us in the fossil layers of the earth. 65 million years ago, something happened and dinosaurs just disappeared. This is what the evolutionists will say, and they will teach it as fact. And so we have this idea of these different areas or eras of time, and of course MYA would be millions of years ago as they're thinking about it. So we have this dinosaurs evolved, birds evolved, and then what happened? We don't know what it is, but somewhere along the line, they decide dinosaurs became extinct. And so they really have worked hard to try and come up with an answer to this question. And then, on the other hand, we have the creationist view, or those that believe in the creation and how the earth was formed. And they would say, and we would say, dinosaurs first existed about 6,000 years ago. God made the dinosaurs along with the other land animals on day 6 of creation. And we just looked at, and Ernest read for us, what took place on the 6 days of creation. So, for a creationist, and I would say even beyond that, because there are some people that believe in the view of creation but aren't true Christians, but for the Christian, the answer to this question would be that if dinosaurs really did exist, and we'll delve into that, if they really did exist, then the answer to when they existed would have to be whenever Scripture says that the animals were created, because it says all animals and all creatures, and therefore would fall under that category. And we have verses 24 and 25, through 31, that talk about, and I won't read those for you right now, because Ernest went ahead and read those for us. But we need to recognize and we need to understand that at one point, if dinosaurs did exist, they existed right alongside man. Because we have this whole account of everything that took place, and everything took place within a week, so there wasn't enough time for dinosaurs to have died off before God created man, right? Don't we go right down the list, and in 6 days, all of these things take place. So we know that if they existed, and if, as Christians, we accept a creationist view of the dinosaurs, then we would have to follow suit and say that they would have existed together. And then one might ask the question, well, who is it that discovered the dinosaurs? According to evolutionist view, there's a man by the name of Mary Ann Went, and for a long time walked a country road in Sussex, England. Who walked an area in England, and I jumped ahead to where she was at. Let's first discuss Dr. Robert Plott, and I apologize. In 1677, he was the head of a museum in England. He published a book that had an illustration of a huge fossilized thigh bone. Plott thought that the bone belonged to a giant human, but it was probably the thigh bone of a dinosaur. And again, when I see things like, he thought it was the case, and it probably, that goes back to this idea that there is some speculation involved. But if we accept that, and man has accepted that, that's one view of when the dinosaurs were discovered, was in 1677. And then we have Dr. Gideon and Marianne Mattel. And what we know of them and what we understand is there was a bone that was found, or she found a stone that glittered in the sunlight, showed it to her husband, who was a fossil collector, who noticed a tooth similar to but much larger than modern reptiles, and he concluded that it belonged to an extinct giant-eating reptile with iguana-like teeth. And that takes place in 1822. So, again, the evolutionist would have maybe a couple of different possibilities as to when dinosaurs were discovered. What would the creationist or the Christian say? Turn to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 19 and 20. Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, says, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." So, if all creatures were brought to Adam, who would be the first to discover dinosaurs? It would have been Adam when they were brought before him to be named. Right? Because it says every creature. And so if we accept what the Bible says, and if we accept that dinosaurs existed, then truly it was Adam that first discovered them. And then down the road, man has rediscovered some of the bones potentially that have been left behind. And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with the possibility that man is able to find fossils that do prove that there was some type of animal, and we'll get further into this next week, that there was some type of animal that we here called dinosaurs, referred to as dinosaurs today, existed. But understand, one of the reasons that I'm comfortable with that is because if God didn't want man to find those fossils, he wouldn't allow for man to have done that. So clearly, God has no problem with man looking and discovering these various things. But it does lead one to question, why are there such dynamically opposed or different views as to the situation with dinosaurs and really creation in general? And the answer is because it's being viewed through two different lenses. The evolutionist would look through a secular lens and look at the idea of evolution from a the idea of dinosaurs from a secular standpoint, and the Christian will choose to view it from a biblical history standpoint. So we have two opposing views because we're starting from two different viewpoints to begin with. And so we see we have this pull where one says the evidence for creation is greater. This is evidence for creation. And we have another person saying, no, this very same thing that you're looking at is evidence of evolution. And so they're battling back and forth over which it really is. One writer wrote, a paleontologist who believes the record in the Bible, which claims to be the Word of God, will in fact come to a different conclusion than an atheist who rejects the Bible. They will come to different terms. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verses 3 through 7. And the point that we want to make here is that willful denial of God's word will lie at the root of any dispute over historical science. A willful desire, or willful desire to deny what God has to say. Beginning in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 3, the word of God says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. For this they willfully forget. And he goes back and he talks about the creation of the world. And then really what we're looking at is we're looking at two different sciences. We have the science that is called historical science, or we would use the term forensics. And then there is operational or experimental science. And these sciences are, in fact, done differently. Origin sciences deal with the past, and so we lack the ability to run exact experiments on them today. And that's what's being used within the evolutionary standpoint. Operational science deals with the here and now, and is therefore open to repeatable experimentation today. Things like our cell phones, things like the engines that we have on airplanes, those types of things, and the science that we use and apply to those, we can experiment with and we can continue to recreate and gain results. When we're talking about dinosaurs and whether or not they existed, there's really not a way that we can run tests and say, yep, we can repeat this today to show that it was true. And so we're looking at historical evidence and it's being viewed from two different standpoints. There are really only two ways of thinking. there is the Christian worldview, which starts with the Word of God and deals with creation, corruption, catastrophe, etc. And we see the world. That's one way of thinking at it. It starts with God's revelation, the Bible, as foundational to all, which includes biology, history, and geology. It includes all sciences. It starts with the Word of God. It starts in His Word, and we understand it from there. Or we have the non-Christian worldview, which basically said that there was death, bloodshed, suffering, and disease, a span of millions of years, and then all of a sudden man existed. This starts with man's belief as the foundation to all thinking, instead of the revelation of God as the beginning of all thinking. So why, again, two different views? Because you're coming at it from two different standpoints, and you're coming at it from two different bases. Either you're basing everything on man being able to tell you what's right and knows exactly what's right, or you're basing it on God knows exactly what He created and basing it on what He says is correct. What do we know and what do we trust as Christians? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." This fear of the Lord is an understanding and having an awe and a respect for who He is, what He has done, and the fact that it is, in fact, His revelation revealed to us for us to know what His creation is and what existed within His creation. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." And finally, Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1, "The fool hath said in his own heart, there is no God." And the majority of the people that believe in evolution, I can't say all because I can't speak for all of them, I can say that the majority would say there is no God. That things just happened. And the questions that Ernest brought up in his discussion with his friend that he brought up in the Isaiah class this morning are great questions. And it really kind of gets a person to stop and think, do I sound foolish when I don't understand these things? It's tough. I really like the one that talks about, if the world is round, how come everywhere I go I'm right side up? How can that possibly be unless there's some way and some force that created it to work in that manner? So the question is, what do you think? And that's what it comes down to. There's two ways of thinking, and God says, here's what I've given you. You can choose to believe it, or you can choose not to. So as we study with people and as we talk to them, we present the material, and we say, what do you think? Do you want to be wise? And do you want to follow in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord? Or do you want to present yourself as a fool who says there is no God, and it's my way? And if that's the choice that you want to make, then God says you're welcome to make your choice. And then the question comes up, though, and I mentioned this earlier, why study dinosaurs? You know, aren't there other things that are more important? What's the big deal? Is it really that important? Aren't there more important topics like, I don't know, right now the Bible and homosexuality still seems to be pretty big? Or suicide's a big one. Isn't it more important to talk about suicide than to talk about whether or not dinosaurs existed years ago? Does it really matter in terms of my understanding of God's Word and my salvation to know whether or not that I know about whether dinosaurs existed? And we'll look at that question, and I won't answer that question yet. Or what about the question, what do I do if my son is looking at pornography? Isn't that an important question? Absolutely. Is every one of these an important question? Yep. Every one of these need to be addressed? Yep. Is any one of the three questions that you see listed there more important than any of the other three? Or other two? Nope. So, why is the question of, does dinosaurs exist? And knowing whether or not God really did create this matter? Is it important? Yep. They're all important. It's man who decides what the most important questions are. And man shouldn't do that. If someone comes to you and asks you a question that deals with the Word of God and what He teaches, then it's an important question. So if man comes to you and says, do dinosaurs exist, or says they don't exist, it's a lie, and evolution can prove it, that's a biblical question. And if it's a biblical question, then it's an important question, and it deserves our time, it deserves our energy, and it deserves God's answer. Right? You notice, it's our time and our energy that we'll put in to give God's answer, not our own personal answer. And really, what one believes concerning the book of Genesis, the dinosaurs, and evolution will determine what one believes about the rest of the Bible. Because we've always said, and Christians understand this and the world understands, if I can disprove even one point, then why do I have to believe anything else? It only takes one point that I can disprove, and then I can say, you know what? If this isn't true, then how can I believe anything else? So we have this question, and people have this. The Bible itself, is it fact or is it fiction? And then we have the question of evolution. Is it fact or is it fiction? And I want you to think about this, and I want you to understand that the following statements that are listed here, they're being taught as fact. They're not being taught as an idea, maybe. They're not being taught that this is a possibility. People are teaching as fact that the universe itself was created by chance. That's a fact. They're saying non-living chemicals turned into a living organism. And yes, Joe, that's a fact. That happened. And through natural selection, this organism grew more complex over 10 million years. That's a fact. Has a little bit more impact on it, doesn't it? When you back it up with, that's a fact. This is the way it is. And this is being taught. And this is being taught as truth. And if it is, if that's what's being taught in our school systems, if that's what's being taught out in the world, and nobody says anything else, what becomes fact? Whatever they choose to believe is fact, which is the misteachings that are being given. So, is it important that we talk about these things? You better believe it is. I can tell you, I've seen school material that possesses information about evolution. And they don't teach it in a manner that says this is a possibility. They teach it as fact. And it's up to us to teach our children, as well as those in the world, that it's not the truth. And truth is the complete account of whatever is, was, and ever will be. Truth is beyond doubt, and there can be only one. So, if we have the Bible on one hand, and we have evolution as our example on the other, and both of them are claiming fact, and that's supposed to be fact is truth, there can be only one. And so, either the evolutionist is right, and all these things are true, or the Bible is right, and everything that it says is true. And that's what we have to get across to those that we study with. So let's give you a word of warning here. If one accepts the atheistic evolutionary teachings of dinosaurs, then the Bible has no authority over things that can be explained by natural process. And therefore, there is no God. Because we've just said that if that can explain it, then nothing else has any truth that we need to believe behind it. So what does that mean? Well, Duchesne said, if there is no God, then everything is permitted. As we said, a word of warning here. If there is no God, then anything is permitted. Why don't we look at that idea for a second? If evolution is right, can anything be wrong? Not according to what we just looked at. Ronald Reagan once said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be one nation gone under. That's pretty good thinking. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, if we forget who we are under and who does remain and who is supreme, we're going to fall. There's no doubt about it. I think you've all seen this on the back of bumper stickers maybe or something. I know I've referenced it. N-O God, N-O peace. If there's no God, then you have no peace. And then the flip side of that is if you change the no to K-N-O-W instead of N-O, if you know God, then you can know peace. And let's go back to the question. Who wants to live in a world without peace? For me, I prefer not to. Go ahead and mark down for yourselves Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 and Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7. You can take that with you and look at that at home. And continuing on in this idea, if there is no God, then what just took place in the courts today and this idea of just married is perfectly fine, isn't it? There's no God, then homosexuality is just fine, and we should accept what man has decided. Turn to Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 24. Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 24. The word of God says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Pretty simple, isn't it? This is what God said. It doesn't say a man shall leave his mother and father and join another man who has left mother, father and mother to be joined in one flesh. And here's the concepts that people come up with. Divorce isn't such a tragedy. A tragedy would be staying in an unhappy marriage, teaching your children the wrong things about love. Nobody ever died over divorce. That sound right to any of you? But that's the way people think. And that idea is being taught. And you know what? Nobody ever died over divorce or died of divorce. Anybody think that might not be true? Spiritually speaking, is it possible to die of divorce? Think about that. If there is no God, then there is no command, let no man separate. You go back, what does Christ do? Christ, who is our example, the one whom we are supposed to pattern ourselves after, Christ goes back to the beginning. Christ goes back to the very beginning, and he goes to where the foundations are being laid. And for us, what's the very beginning? The foundation's laid in the book of Genesis, isn't it? It's going back to the end. And so there would be no need to say, let no man separate. Therefore, divorce is great. Don't live in that loveless marriage. Go ahead and just move on. Because it was never said. Because in their mind, God doesn't exist. If evolution is correct, and what they teach about dinosaurs is correct, and the Bible's wrong. See why it's important? See what's important? See why when you attack the foundations of something, you can make the whole tower crumble? How about this one? What is morality at any given time or any place? It is what the majority then and there happen to like, and immorality what they dislike. Morality at any given time is simply what I think is okay and what I like. And anything I don't like, I'll call that wrong. If there is no God, that's a permitted way of looking at things, right? If there is no God, then we can dictate. You ever seen those before? I'm going to tell you right now, I had to work real hard to find things that would be appropriate but to get the point across, because I could not, in my mind or in my wife's mind, justify putting a young lady on the screen that has these shorts on to bring home the point. But the point is that culture says these shorts are in. Everybody's wearing them, and there's nothing wrong with showing just a little bit of skin. Besides, it's hot out. Right? Who are you to tell me what's moral and immoral? These are in. These are what I can wear. That's what happens if we allow culture and society to determine what's moral and immoral. What does God say about these shorts? It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. George Washington. You mean that there have been leaders of our nation, and there are people that at least have a concept that we could probably learn from that statement? It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Let's look. What does God say in the New Testament? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. God is concerned with what we wear, with modest clothing, but not so much with flirtation, hairstyles, jewelry, and unnecessary adornment. You've read that, and he's concerned with being like Jesus in our actions and our character. And then you can reference 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and recognize that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8, from the beginning, garment has represented character. I want you to think about that a little bit and think about what you're showing in a manner of character depending on how you choose to dress. Don't take my word for it. Look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. This idea of being arrayed in fine linen, why? Because of the character, right? Isn't that what he's describing? Talking about was granted that right because of character. The truth is, the evolutionary teaching on dinosaurs is an attack on the foundations of Christianity. It's trying to find a way to get in and to dismantle and destroy the Lord's church. I really liked looking at this particular picture. For those of you that aren't familiar with him, Ken Ham, whom much of this material I was able to grab from and get some information from, puts this in one of his books. And what's the point here? We see an attack taking place, and look at where we're seeing this coming down, creation, thousands of years, and God's Word. What are they aiming at? What are they trying to knock out? Because if they can destroy this, what's going to happen to that tower? Take it out right at the base. So you can see there are problems. Look at Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3. Read that real quick. Then look up at the picture. And think about it for a second. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Whose responsibility is it to protect the foundations? Final thought. If you destroy the foundations of anything, the structure will collapse. If someone wanted to destroy Christianity, then they would need to destroy the foundations which are established in the book of Genesis. Again, back to the beginning. If you have questions and you need to find answers, follow the example of Jesus Christ, who went back to the beginning and talked about what God did. The biblical doctrine of origins, as contained in the book of Genesis, is foundational to all other doctrine of Scripture. If you refute or undermine in any way the Bible doctrine of origins, the rest of the Bible is undermined. And we just looked at that and what happens if that takes place. Every single biblical doctrine of theology, directly or indirectly, ultimately has its basis in the book of Genesis. Genesis is the only book that provides an account of the origin of all the basic entities of life and the universe, such are the origin of life, the origin of man, the origin of government, the origin of marriage, of culture, of nations, of death, of sin, even of clothes. You go back and talk about they realized they were naked. And so if we allow the world to teach as fact those things contradictory to what God has stated as absolute truth, then the foundations crumble and our ability to teach others will fall. But John said, if we allow that to happen, we don't have to allow that to happen. We can stand up for the Word of God. We can preach the truth. We can protect those foundational issues that need to be protected, and we can work on, and you noticed in that other slide in that picture, firing back at these other things as well. We can fire back at pornography, at homosexuality, at all these other things in the world, while still protecting the foundations that God has laid for us. So I encourage you to think. It's the study of dinosaurs important? Or is it simply something, if somebody has a question, you just say, you know what? It really doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God. And it really doesn't have anything to do with my spiritual life. For me, the answer is very clear. But I can only make the answer for me. We will continue this idea. And going forward will be a little bit more probably what you expected to hear this morning on the idea of dinosaurs. And that is, we will actually look at a couple of creatures that existed during biblical times that we can find in Scripture that might be representative kind of what the world views as what dinosaurs look like today. That's the lesson for this morning. If any of you have any need that we as a congregation can work with you and for you, we invite you to make it known while we stand and while we sing.